You have a big bank like that and you are condoning the activities of these criminals, making it easy for them to do these transactions, to hurt a lot of people. We don't know how many people they hurt. We don't know how many families are destroyed by the things that they're selling and doing. But the cartel or, you know, these drug activities, these guys are not playing. They were not playing at all. So, you know, I'm gonna leave that alone. I'm the finance guy. Like, leave me alone, please. TD Bank has just been fined $3 billion by U.S. authorities in money laundering case. This is crazy. Brothers and sisters, you do not understand the magnitude of what this means. Is one of the biggest fines ever administered in U.S. history as far as money laundering cases are concerned. $3 billion, not million, $3 billion. And brothers and sisters, we are going to break down this whole case because there is so much going on here. It is ridiculous. But we're talking about the cartels coming in and kind of strong arming the bank. And like I said, just to be totally honest, 100% honest with you listeners right now, I would be scared too, just to be totally honest with you. These boys are not playing. So for them to be able to strong arm a strong bank, I'm just saying. Anyway, regardless of how that feels, let's listen to this news story. And I'm actually going to get into the details as a financial advisor. I got the court case for you. I got the plea agreement for you. And I got a couple of documentations from the Office of Public Affairs to get into the real details, things that the news is not going to tell you about the situation, so you can protect yourself and you can know what's going on. Let's check this out.
Well, it was a bad week for TD Bank. Canada's second largest bank has agreed to pay a record $3 billion U.S. dollars in fines to American regulators for allowing drug cartels to use the bank's services for money laundering. Let's bring in Nivrita Ganguly to break it down for us. Niv, what exactly has TD pleaded guilty to, and how significant are these fines?
Well, the fines, they're historic, really. It's the largest penalty ever imposed by U.S. regulators on a bank under the anti-money laundering law. In fact, TD has now become the first bank ever to plead guilty to charges of conspiracy to commit money laundering in the U.S.
Welcome back. My name is A.B. Ridgway. I'm the host of Financial Advisor. Say the darndest things in my mom's favorite Christian financial advisor. As a certified private wealth advisor with over a decade of experience, this is a historic event for me as well. But as she pointed out, she had said this is the first time a bank has admitted to these charges. Why is this important? Because you can look up any major bank that you want to. A majority of them are going to have these lawsuits where people have accused them of money laundering or misappropriating money. And in those court cases, a majority of them are settled. So if you Google them, and maybe I might do that exercise here for those who are on YouTube, if you look at their profile, what you're going to see is that they neither confirm or deny the charges, and they typically settle out of court. So you'll see all these charges, but then they just throw money at them and it just kind of disappears. I mean, it's still on their record, but no one looks it up. But this one, they actually agree. And that's going to be a big point, brothers and sisters. Take a look at this. Let's keep listening.
The crux of the misconduct and what TD has now admitted to is that over a period of 6 years, the bank allowed three money laundering networks to transfer more than $670 million U.S. dollars through the bank. Now, these were criminal networks laundering what is considered to be illegal earnings. And at least one of the three were laundering drug money. So the $3.1 billion, it's a result of penalties from three different U.S. authorities, including the U.S. Justice and Treasury Departments. TD's also been hit by an asset cap, which means that its U.S. business is now facing growth restrictions. Now, that's a way for regulators to ensure that the bank improves its compliance. So in this case, until TD improves its anti-money laundering monitoring system, its reporting and risk assessment systems, to a level that U.S. regulators are satisfied with, it will be restricted from taking on new business in the U.S.
Ooh. Okay, we got a lot to go over, a lot to go over. She had a lot of acronyms, anti-money laundering. What is that? There's also the Bank Secrecy Act. We may not go into all these things, but I want you to have a working knowledge of why this is so detrimental. And we're going to really dig into this, but check this out. So we are on the Office of Public Affairs, the U.S. Department of Justice website. You can go to justice.gov. You can look this up yourself. This is a press release where they said TD Bank pleads guilty to Bank Secrecy Act and money laundering conspiracy violations and $1.8 billion resolution. This is dated of October 10, 2024. This looks like just a little bit of history about who TD Ameritrade is. looks like there's a quote. It says that TD Bank's guilty pleas are part of a coordinated resolution with the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve Board, as well as the Treasury Department Office of Comptroller of Currency and Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. By making its services convenient for criminals, TD Bank became one, said Attorney General Merrick D. Garland. Whew, that's some tough words. It says today, TD Bank also becomes the largest bank in U.S. history to plead guilty to Bank Secrecy Act program failures and the first U.S. bank in history to plead guilty to conspiracy to commit money laundering. Oh my gosh. Let's keep going. I'm not going to read all this. It says for nearly a decade, TD Bank failed to update its anti-money laundering compliance program to address known risk. As bank employees acknowledged in internal communications, these failures made the bank an easy target for the bad guys. Ladies and gentlemen, before we go any further, you know, financial advisors say the darndest things. I am reading this and I'm like, anti-money laundering. Okay, let's keep going. You may be listening like, what is anti-money laundering? I kind of get the idea. Are they washing money? What does that mean? So let's go to the definition here. Here we're going to one of my favorite sites, Investopedia. What is money laundering? Anti-money laundering is an international web of laws, regulations, and procedures aimed at uncovering money that has been disguised as legitimate income, meaning drug money that goes into the banking system as real money or legitimate earnings, and then they can get clean money out and then wipe out all the trails. So for centuries, government and law enforcement agencies have tried to fight crime by following the money. In modern times, that comes down to anti-money laundering laws and activities. That's why we talk about cryptocurrency where there's no government involvement. Yes, that's fine for some people who don't want the involvement of the government, but it becomes very hard to track. If someone steals your money, there's no recourse because how do you track down the money, right? So money laundering is the concealment of the origins of money gained from crimes, including tax evasion, human trafficking, drug trafficking, and public corruption. It also includes money being illegally routed to terrorist organizations. So these regulations have been around for a long time. And one of the main things I really want you to know, because I do a lot of scam videos on this channel, and we talk about the responsibility of the bank to actually stop some of these things from occurring. Like, how do you step up? Why didn't they ask the right questions? Why didn't they stop them from moving all this money? Well, financial institutes combat money laundering with what they call Know Your Customer, KYC, and Customer Due Diligence, CDD measures. These measures are in the bank. And that's why I say there is a law that tells them they have to ask a certain amount of questions to open up an account or to do certain transactions. So to say that those questions were not asked is kind of over my head thinking like, I don't know. I think those questions were asked, but were those questions answered honestly to stop some of those scams that are going on? So this is anti-money laundering. So basically what you really need to know is that the bad guys are taking bad money that was gained illegally and trying to wash the money through the bank so it looks legal. Sometimes they do this through stores or they'll do it through a business. Here, they're actually doing it through the bank. But let's get back to here. So let's see if we could pick up a few more things about this court case. Internal audits. It looks like their failure to kind of do some of those things. They did not automatically monitor all domestic automatic clearinghouses, ACH. If you're familiar with the automated clearinghouse, that's where you link your bank account. So you know how certain companies take money out of your account automatically? They do that through the automatic clearinghouse, ACHs. So when you set up an ACH or connect your bank account, that's the system that you're using. And what they're saying is TD Bank intentionally did not automatically monitor all domestic automatic clearinghouses so they can kind of bypass some of these illegal transactions. And it says 92% of total transaction volume going unmonitored from January 1, 2018 to April 12, 2024. This amounted to approximately 18.3. Oh my gosh. Trillion. $18.3 trillion of transaction activity. Whew. They are moving some money, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you're moving 18 trillion. You're worried about 600 million. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but man, they're moving some money. To shut down a whole system in order to protect this small amount, there must be something else. Let me see here. It says TD Bank's AML, which is anti-money laundering, failures made it convenient for criminals in the words of its employees. Man, this is crazy. So it looks like there's some here. It looks like there's also the plea agreement. Let's take a look at that here. So we look like we have the plea agreement through the U.S. Department of Justice. This was filed in the state of New York. This is the official plea agreement. Let's go here. Let's go down terms of the defendant's obligation under the agreement. the defendant's agreement. Okay, so this is what they agree to, or this is what they're, okay, this is what they're guilty of. To one count, criminal information charging the defendant with conspiring to, one, fail to maintain an adequate anti-money laundering program contrary to Title 31 United States Code Section 5318H and 5322, fail to file accurate currency transaction reports, those are CTRs. Now, what's a CTR? This is very important because a lot of people, when we do these scam videos, once again, people say, well, how do you move 30, 40, you know, $1,000 and no one says anything? Well, that's what a currency transaction report is. Watch this. So a currency transaction report is this, is a bank form used in the U.S. to help prevent money laundering. This form must be filled out by a bank representative whenever a customer attempts a currency transaction of more than $10,000. It is part of the banking industry's anti-money laundering responsibility. Brothers and sisters, are you seeing how all this stuff is coming together? So when I say something, when I say, okay, she moved $40,000, or this scammer told her to move $50,000 and nobody asked her any questions, she's not walking into the bank, getting a check and walking out. They have policies and procedures they need to follow. One of them being the currency transaction report. Now, if you go ask the bank about your CTR, they're probably going to deny it. They don't really talk about this, but it is a true thing. A CTR is something they do whenever that you make a transaction over $10,000. But what criminals try to do, they try to structure their deposits to be just under, so they don't have any type of reporting. Like when you go buy a car and you says, hey, I need $30,000, $40,000. And they say, well, hold on, we need to take this check back here. They're filling out the CTR to say, hey, this guy has taken out this amount of money. So the government knows exactly where this money is actually flowing to. So when you're talking about these scammers, they're asking questions, they're doing reports, things are going to happen inside the bank because they have to follow these policies. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, TD Ameritrade just got in trouble for not following these CTRs, for not following these anti-money laundering, you know, activities. And I 100% understand. I am not saying that's not true. You got me hands up, you know, but the thing is, this exception is not, well, let me say it this way. The exception does not negate the rule. That's what I want to say. The exception does not negate the rule. It is a general practice and a majority of them follow these rules. Will they get them out of the, you know, 92% of transactions? Yeah, probably a majority of them are going to go. Will a few slip by? Maybe a few slip by. But as a general rule, we can assume with a high degree that they are filling out these CTRs and trying to stop money laundering activities, because no one wants to get hit with a $3 billion fine for this. But let's go back to the case here. The defendant understands that to be guilty of this offense, the following essential elements of the offense must be satisfied. The defendant, through its employees, made an agreement to, one, fail to maintain an adequate AML program. We talked about that. Fail to file accurate CTRs. Accurate CTRs. That's a key word here, meaning they filled them out. Were they accurate? That's the problem. And three, launder monetary instruments. And the defendant was a party to or member of that agreement. Man, that's tough. Well, let's just keep going here. I don't really think there's really much here because there's not much we really need to decipher other than they broke the law. They broke the law. They had this in place, but they weren't updating it because they wanted criminals to come in and make deposits at their bank. So once again, brothers and sisters, when I say the bank wants your money, the bank wants your money. You send in off $100,000 or $200,000 to a scammer, they don't want that. They're going to ask every question, how do we keep this money in here? But what they're doing is they're putting that money inside the bank. They're gathering it from drug money and other places like that, from criminal activity, and they're profiting off it. And they got caught, and it's just a sad situation. So brothers and sisters, I don't want to make this video too long, but we actually looked at the Department of Justice, their press release, and what really went on. We actually looked at the plea agreement with TD Ameritrade, and we see everything is legitimate. Nothing looked out of the ordinary. They knew they were in trouble. And based on the research, as far as them not looking at transactions, not going over the ACHs, not having a automated system to review those things, it just spelled trouble from the get-go. So brothers and sisters, I want you to protect yourself. When we talk about these scam videos, when we talked about the banks, these things are in place to actually protect you, but we need to make sure the banks are held accountable. And I'm glad this happened. I mean, obviously I don't like to see bad things happen to anybody, but you have a big bank like that and you are condoning the activities of these criminals, making it easy for them to do these transactions, to hurt a lot of people. We don't know how many people they hurt. We don't know how many families are destroyed by the things that they're selling and doing. But the cartel, or, you know, these drug activities, these guys are not playing. They were not playing at all. So, you know, I'm going to leave that alone. I'm the finance guy. Like, leave me alone. Please, please leave me alone. But brothers and sisters, I really want to know from you. How do you feel about this? Do you think this is appropriate? Do you think they should investigate more banks? Do you think more banks should pay more fines? Do you think we should be held accountable? Now, how are we going to hold our banks accountable if we don't know what the AML, the anti-money laundering activities, laws, and regulations are? What if we don't know about CTRs? How can we hold these banks accountable? I'm not saying we all need to be lawyers, because I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a financial advisor that's interested in the facts. But brothers and sisters, we need to do something. How do you feel about the banks? Let me know in the comments. I'd love to talk to you. If you're not subscribed, make sure you subscribe. But that's it for me. My name is AB Ridgeway, and I'll see you on the other side of your blessing.